Whether this is her first Mother's Day or her 40th, she deserves more. Shop tons of stunning on-trend jewelry for every budget at Diamonds Direct. Diamond fashion jewelry, beautiful birthstones, everyday pearls, starting at just $200. Commemorate the real loves of her life with a gorgeous pendant featuring the birthstone of the one who made her mom. This Mother's Day, Diamonds Direct is everything you need to say thank you. Diamonds Direct, your love, our passion. Online at DiamondsDirect.com.
Here's something you might not know about wireless. Sometimes what you see isn't what you get. But with Visible, what you see is what you get. Switch to Visible, the wireless company that makes wireless visible. Get a one-line plan with unlimited 5G data powered by Verizon. Just $25 per month, taxes and fees included. Switch now at Visible.com. Monthly rate on the Visible plan. For data management practices and additional terms, visit Visible.com.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. That's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
Zeit gang, you like to watch new stuff, right? I mean, who doesn't? I do. Well, go to Hulu and see what's new, because Hulu has new stuff all the time, like Vanderpump Villa, the new docudrama starring Lisa Vanderpump, where first-class luxury meets world-class drama, a new season of The Kardashians starring The Kardashians, of course, and Grand Cayman, Secrets in Paradise, the sizzling new reality show set in the tropical Caribbean. It's streaming now, and it's waiting for you on Hulu.
Hello, the internet, and welcome to Season 66, Episode 3 of Der Daily Zeitgeist, yes. The podcast where we take a deep dive into America's shared consciousness using the headlines, box office reports, TV ratings, what's trending on Google and social media. It's Thursday, January 24th, 2019. My name is Jack O'Brien, a.k.a. Jack to the Future 3, the bad one that's just a Western for some reason. And I'm thrilled to be joined, as always, by my co-host, Mr. Miles Gray!
Miles by Miles, Gray by Gray by Gray. A fresh start over, a different hot take. Only time will tell if we're second rate. We'll make it better the second time around.
Just so you know, those Step by Step and a lot of those TGIF theme songs were written by the same guy, which is why they all sound like really whack blues songs. Uh-huh. Like Full House and also Family Matters. Yeah. Anyway, thank you to at Crispy Meme Donut, Christy Yamaguchi main, for that by-step inspired, a.k.a.
You know Alan Thick wrote some of his own theme songs?
Really?
Yeah.
Like which ones?
I guess Growing okay. Pains.
Did he write that one?
Yeah, I think so.
What's the Growing Pains one?
No clue. And moving on, we're thrilled to be joined in our third seat by the hilarious comedian Lydia Popovich.
Hello, hello.
What's up?
Let me just say that was a breathtaking rendition of the Step by Step.
Thank you
theme.
So much for being here.
Honestly, like some of those high notes, like that was beautiful. Like you stayed in like a falsetto,
yeah,
like head voice pretty consistently. Yep. And I don't know if users and listeners at home understand how difficult that is to do. So hats off.
Are you a vocalist? Yeah. As well?
I sang in choir from like 5 till probably 14, okay. And then I found weed and was like, this seems like a waste of time.
Yeah. And you went from singing to like...
Yeah, and then I was like coughing, I was like, can this, yeah, no, I'm never going to be good enough.
You
to
grew up in
singing.
The Bay Area?
I did.
Nice, yeah, we I were did. Just up there. Beautiful place, beautiful people.
Yes, yes.
I mean, those are all things that are true.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. There's terrible things about there too.
Yeah, I mean like anywhere, but of course. I'm myopic and I like to bury my head in the sand and only look at the nice things.
You know what's an overrated for me? The amount of human shit on the street of San Francisco. I didn't see a single piece of human shit on the street of San Francisco.
A lot of comedians like to have
that
take. What
neighborhood were you in?
I didn't leave my hotel room.
There you go.
Oh, there, no.
Also, if you were like... within the confines of like a safe comedy festival, I'm sure that they had poop scoopers to make sure that people don't know.
A lot of, I felt like a lot of tweets from people around in and around Sketchfest were like, had to walk over pee or poo. And like, we went to a couple venues. Like,
also, and then like, Trump, in a letter to Nancy Pelosi, was like, clean up the streets of San Francisco. It's disgusting.
Yeah, he needs to go there. I also just feel like, also, have you been to a city?
Right.
Yeah, all cities are full of urine. That's why it's a city.
If anything, our street right here should take the pee and poo crown.
I know, man.
We call it Shit Avenue.
I've walked by somebody shitting into his own hand.
Well, that's a good one.
On my way into work.
Yeah.
Broad daylight.
Yeah. No, I lived in San Francisco for too many years to count. Over seven. Let's say 15.
That is too high for
me. Let's say 15. I don't know. After seven, you're just like, wow. Why am I here?
You're like,
still?
We're doing this.
What's happening? But I lived on Haight Street, off of Haight Street, actually. And I literally saw people shitting like on a weekly basis.
Yeah. Okay.
Where you're like, okay. Okay. I wanted to live the dream that this was a large dog.
Right.
It is not dogs. Definitely.
And there's
not
candy
dogs.
Corn in it.
Yeah. If he's lucky, if it's been a good week.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Candy corn. Usually the body will process candy corn, won't it?
I don't know. Not mine.
If you're running on crack.
Okay. Yeah.
Fucks up your gut.
It's
chemistry.
Just a cluster of candy corn.
Yeah.
All right, Lydia, we're going to get to know you a little bit better in a moment. First, we're going to tell our listeners a couple of the things we're talking about today. Mickey D's is doing the bacon fries that we had been worried about for so long. They are a coming, you guys. A member of the Zeit Gang got introduced to them early, so we all got a sneak peek. And yeah, we're all going to have to live our lives knowing that that's out there. There is a Sweetheart Strout. We're going to talk about that. So the hard-hitting news up top.
Yeah.
Then we're going to bring in our good friend from Right Wing Watch, Jared Holt. And he is going to give us a little insight into how the Covenant Catholic story progressed over the past handful of days as the right wing kind of spun the media and the media let itself be spun. Like a good dancing partner. And we're going to talk about just various Trump things, his response to Nancy Pelosi about the State of the Union, his administration admitting their apparent frustration with Rudy Giuliani and suspicion that he's drinking before interviews, all of that and more. But first, Lydia, what is something from your search history that's revealing about who you are?
Oh, God, that's a great question. I have several different devices, so it's like depending upon which device is probably what I've searched recently. Mm-hmm. But I will say this. I opened up a device that I use frequently, and I didn't realize that Google is now just kind of suggesting things to you based on previous things.
Oh, really?
Something that I am obsessed with, someone I'm obsessed with is Dolly Parton. So almost every day I get served like some sort of news about Dolly Parton didn't ask for, but I'm so happy that I got.
Yeah.
So the latest is that she is taking five outfits from her vast collection of clothing that she has had over the years of performances, and she is bringing them to Los Angeles and putting them in the Grammy Museum because she's being honored as Grammy's Music Hair Person of the Year. So you can go and see Dolly Parton's outfits. Ooh. If you ever wanted to see just how mesmerizing and how defying of gravity in science her body is, just go. I don't know. I think she probably has to bring her own dress molds because there's no way that those dresses can be fit like on a regular mannequin.
Oh, I'm sure, right?
It's pretty phenomenal. And I've seen her stuff before because I'm an obsessed fan and I've gone to Dollywood and she has a whole museum that's two stories high and the bottom floor is just full of her outfits.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
And it's pretty great. It's like glitter, rhinestone, Bob Mackie heaven. It's the best thing.
My question to you as a Dolly fan is, what are you team that she is she covered in tattoos or she has scars? Why is she always covered?
So this
her
is
arms?
Something that I've been asked about quite a bit. This is something that has been in the Dolly universe for quite some time.
Yeah.
Dolly Parton does have tattoos. She is not covered in tattoos. She doesn't have a bodysuit underneath there. She's not Kat Von D walking around in a sparkly dress.
Right.
But she absolutely has tattoos. She's actually talked about it on several interviews. And this past summer, we actually got like a little special thing. She was here in Los Angeles doing a bunch of stuff and she was getting her nails done. And someone at the nail salon saw her and took a picture of her and she was wearing a mesh shirt and you can see the tattoos that have been much ballyhooed for a very long time. And the center of her chest, kind of going down between her breasts, she has a series of roses and butterflies.
Oh,
and
wow.
They're subtle and they're small, but they're there. They're 100% there, but she has them in a place that she can be covered. She's also rumored to have an angel and I believe another butterfly on the side of her rib cage. So okay. everything she has is covered.
But nothing on her arms?
Nope, nothing on her arms.
She just likes to keep her arms covered.
She is
usually,
73
right?
years old, sir. Yeah. You leave that lady alone. No, she wants to cover her
I
arms.
I love Dolly Parton. That's why I'm always curious because that whole mystique began building. Yeah. Like, why is she always so covered up? Like people say it's burns, it's people just, say it's tattoos.
You know, you perform for 70 years. You know what looks good on stage. You know what I mean? Like dip yourself in diamonds. Like let that light reflect.
But
like,
she has stuck by the long sleeve dress. Very strongly, as like not a lot of people are rocking the long sleeve dress.
Yeah, she's
not many people can though.
12 pounds, so she's freezing.
That's true,
right?
At all times.
How tall is Dolly Parton?
So Dolly Parton is like 5'3" on a good day. Wow. I met her and I was in heels, and she was in heels, and she still only came to my shoulder.
Right.
Oh wow.
Yeah, and that was with full wig and heels.
Right.
So she's a teeny tiny little bird.
Have we seen her wigless?
There are pictures of her back in the day, wigless. Mm-hmm. The best thing you can see if you want to see. Like a wig situation is when they did the whole was that ALS the ice bucket challenge?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Dolly Parton did it and did it to herself on a wig, which is hilarious to see Dolly Parton in a wet ass wig.
Right.
Funny as hell. Awesome. And it's gonna be like the most casual you've ever seen her. She's wearing like a sweater and jeans and she's like at home in Nashville and then there she dumps a bucket of ice on her head and it is amazing.
That's a Dolly.
Yeah.
I love Jolene at half speed.
Yes.
It's one of my favorite things.
There's so many things. There's lovely remixes of Jolene that have come out.
But specifically at 33 on the 45.
You like that?
Yeah. That's just, it's just funky.
Yeah.
What is something you think is underrated, Lydia?
Alone time.
Okay.
Being alone. I feel like especially here in Los Angeles, everyone's got this like fear of missing out.
Oh my God.
There's always a party to go to. There's always an event to see. There's always, you know, and I'm a comic, so everybody's like, you got to be out. You got to be out standing around watching other people do comedy. You can't, you got to be with friends. You got to, you know what I mean? And I am just, I love being alone.
Yeah.
I love being by myself and quiet.
Sure.
On the couch.
Yes.
In a chair.
Yep.
You know what
I mean? Watch a 90 Day Fiancé.
Absolutely.
100%. I was keeping your tweets. I'm from the same planet.
Yo, you know what I mean? That thing just changed my life. I threw my back out over Christmas and went into a spiral. That if you ever want to feel good about yourself.
Oh my.
And relationship
and
choices,
the relationship you're in.
Yo, watch that show.
I know.
It is bonkers.
All I can do is preach that gospel. Did you grow up a single or only child or do you have siblings?
Yes and no. Here's it's a trick answer. So I have one brother and we are 11 years apart.
Oh, okay.
He was born when I was 13.
Oh, wow.
So I was an only child.
Yeah.
And then I have a brother.
Right.
You know what I mean?
So functionally, you grew up an only child.
Completely. Right. Like the way that I was raised, like my parents were together. I had a mom and dad in the house. They fought all the time. It was crazy, but it was just me. And then when he was born, my parents were together for like another 2 years and then they were apart. So he had such a different life. So we both had our own only childhood.
Yeah.
And then, but we also are really close and have a great bond.
Like
we
so
went
cool.
from like me being a second mom to me being like a best friend. So
that's great.
Yeah, it's great. We get along really well. He's
so
awesome.
Cool. Everybody should have like a, I mean, I guess that's why the Big Brother and Big Sister Foundation exists, is so you can have somebody who's like
a mentor.
Know, that age difference from you, who's looking out for you.
Yeah. Not just someone who started smoking cigarettes 2 years before you.
Right. Like, let somebody get something under their belt. I mean, my brother didn't start smoking weed until he was like 26.
Oh,
so
my God.
I had tons of years.
Right,
you know, right.
I was just light years.
You had like a collection. He's like, I just tried weed. You're like, okay, here
I was
you
like,
go.
Here, buddy, this is the bong.
You can finally inherit these treasures.
Yeah. Well, this is how long it was. It's like by the time he started smoking weed, like weed had kind of got out of fashion. So he started smoking concentrates, like started like dabbing.
Yeah.
And I had to be like, so flowers. And then I was like, wait, dabbing's the future. This makes so much sense.
Right.
Why am I wasting time and money on weed?
Yeah. Like,
so, you know, now we live in a beautiful world where, you know, we dab as a family.
Exactly. Oh, man, I wish I had siblings I could dab with.
Although, shout out to siblings who are only a couple years older. I had a great older sister who showed me the ropes. Because she was probably mentally like 5 years older than me, even though she was only 2 years older.
Right.
Older sisters rule. What is something you think is overrated?
Overrated. Almond milk.
Boom.
Not a fan.
Okay.
Sure.
There's so many great non-dairy milk alternatives. First and foremost, like coconut milk is amazing.
Yeah.
And I also should probably preface this by saying like my only consumption of milk in general was like in a smoothie or in a milkshake or in my coffee. Like I'm not like a glass of milk drinker.
Not many sane people are.
Right? Because milk is for baby cows, not for grown ass humans.
Yeah. Although it's weird in Japan, I love Japanese milk because it's so rich. I will drink a fucking glass of that.
I went to Japan recently for the first time I went to Tokyo and I did not eat any dairy.
Oh, no.
I should have tried some milk.
If you're not lactose intolerant, you should
I'm not a big fan. And I mean, I fuck with She's Heavy, I try not to just because I'm trying not to. Uh-huh. But when I go to Europe, that's like all I eat. I want to eat everything that is dairy there. Yeah. I'm just oh, butter? Yeah, I'll have four slices by itself. Right. Oh, what's this? Yogurt? Yeah, I'll take a pint. You know what I mean? Yeah. Just because it's so good. But I never thought I should. Yeah. I know, I'm mad at myself. Well, Next time I'm in Japan, I'm going to make it.
So what other non, aside from coconut milk?
Yeah, coconut milk, oat milk for coffee.
I just had that oat milk.
I turned my nose up at it first, but honestly, it's great.
It's so thick.
It's delicious. It's frothy. It really does something with the acidity of the coffee bean and turns it into this beautiful, lush beverage.
Oh, I've never had it.
Especially if you're drinking it hot. It's gorgeous.
You talk about a bad use of almond milk. Coffee, flakes up. It's fucking gross.
It's disgusting. Yeah. It mixes all up. And then it also just tastes like somebody literally threw some almonds into your coffee. Right. If I wanted a Jamocha fudge almond situation, I'd have it.
Yeah.
But no, I just want some coffee. I want it to be kind of creamy. So the oat milk is great.
Yeah.
I'm team oat milk and team coconut milk all the way.
Okay.
A coconut milk froth. Whew, get out of here.
Yeah.
Get out of here.
All right.
Really?
Okay. Get out of here.
So we'll just leave.
I want you guys to be Lydia all by herself for the next 45 minutes. Dolly Parton and coffee.
And coconut milk and 90 Day
We can do some breakdowns. You have 90 days. You know what I mean? I also watch Love and Hip Hop. Okay. If you want to get that Drag Race recap, let's get that in. Yeah. By the time you guys get back with your Nespresso steamers and cartons of coconut milk, we'll be set. Continue.
She'll already have her own show.
And finally, Lydia, what is a myth? What's something people think is true you know to be false?
Plastic straws are not going to ruin the environment.
Okay.
Us laying off plastic straws isn't going to save the environment. Okay. Our problems are so much deeper than a plastic fucking straw. The plastic straw is the new six-pack holder from the 80s. You remember when people use that? Right. It became this symbol for be responsible, think about recycling.
Right.
Every 10 years, we come up with this one object that's like, the devil, this is going to solve it. It was plastic bags, and now it's plastic straws. Open up your eyes, you freaking sheeple. I just want a straw to drink my iced coffee. A plastic one is what I need. That paper joint gives me 12 seconds to drink my coffee before it disintegrates into a paper mache project. Mm-hmm. Right. Non-necessary.
So you say that in the sense that it's one of those sort of items that people point to as being the issue rather than addressing a greater use of plastics, on an industrial level. Right.
Absolutely.
Where it's falling on the consumer level to be you need to solve our problems that are actually at an higher industry level.
I mean, if we really want to be extra real, and this is controversial because I just talked about what a big weed smoker I am, but I'm also super annoyed by all of the new rules and regulations around medical marijuana.
Sure.
So we're outlawing and demonizing straws, which is basically one cylindrical piece of plastic and a biodegradable paper sleeve and or biodegradable plastic that maybe takes longer time. But now we have medical marijuana in several states and we have put all these things into place. So now we have all this excessive packaging. So in order to get your flowers or to get your concentrate or get your vape pen, there's usually 2 to 4 pieces of plastic that you have to char through to get to your product. And all that stuff is being thrown away.
Right.
So let's look at the bigger problem, which is the use of plastics. We could also talk about it on a much bigger level. What about the amount of energy that is being put into support servers that handle all of our internet stuff and handles all of the data. Think about the digital traffic and the plastic and the output. There's much bigger issues that if we really wanted to make a difference, we should charge towards.
It's when power companies, utility companies, everyone should be using those those twisty light bulbs.
Right.
Instead of those other ones, because that's really the problem.
Yeah, that's the problem.
So you're seeing, because sometimes people take things literally on this show and they're going to be plastic is a problem. Not to say that plastic is not
a problem.
But stop trying to put it on at the consumer level when things can be done at a much higher level. Yes. But hey, regulations are, that's a third rail word to some capitalists. So.
Yeah.
And
we're
also
going to fix it one straw at a time.
And for me, plastic, I mean, not to say again, yes, it's an issue. Yes, it's a problem. But there are just other things that I wish people would mobilize against with as much veracity and veracity.
Yeah.
I don't know if those are words. I just mix them up with that they do with straws. Let's make sure that cops don't kill black people.
Yeah.
Let's make sure that I don't know, children aren't raped by pop stars.
Sure.
Let's make sure that women are heard. There's much other issues, and I'm not saying that those aren't being covered, but
let's not try and erase trans people out of the military.
Me with your straw crisis.
Right.
I want one.
Right.
Yeah.
Man, I really tried to make the paper straw work.
You can't.
Until I fucking...
You can't.
I was eating paper at the end.
You literally... It is not a joke. You have 12 seconds to drink out of that straw before it disintegrates. Yeah. It's the silliest thing.
Someone should just step up and be like the Beats headphones of the straw game with like your stainless steel straw, and everyone's like, oh, I got my fancy straw. I don't know.
And then everyone's sipping up bacteria everywhere. That's disgusting.
not properly cleaning.
Do you know how we got plastic
steel
straws? Because paper straws were trash.
Right. Before, right.
Yes. Yeah. That's how we got them. Like, if we're going to do it, like, the adult sippy cup is the only thing that I've seen that's, like, close to coming up with that. Like, Starbucks came out with, like, literally, like, a little sippy cup that, so you don't, like, spill onto yourself.
Right. And there's also the, like, metal straws. But, again, you have to keep track of those, keep those with you, rinse
them out. And sterile.
Ugh.
Yeah.
You know who I bet could make a really good alternative to plastic straws is those giant corporations who are responsible for destroying the environment in the first
place.
Yeah. Yeah, maybe if they prioritized it instead of us having to do it one straw at a time, you know, like they said, 100 companies are responsible for 71% of global warming and climate change.
But it's on us.
Yes.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Put that straw down, buddy.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Don't use that plastic bag.
Yeah.
Hey, speaking of giant corporations, McDonald's is doing bacon fries.
Yep. We talked about this last year.
Yes.
We saw there were rumors, very rabid McDonald's fans were like, they're testing bacon fries in this market. In the past, this market has been used to test for like much larger national rollouts of menu items. And behold, I think starting on the 30th, those bacon cheese fries will be available. And on top of that, they're going to add like bacon there. You can get bacon on like a Big Mac or Quarter Pounder. The only reason I bring this up is to promote this on January 29th, next Tuesday, from 4 to 5 p.m. local time, McDonald's is having what they call the Bacon Hour, where they will let you add bacon to any item on the menu. That you could put it on a Filet-O-Fish sandwich and really gross your friends out.
Apple pie?
Fuck it.
Yeah.
Apple pie, McFlurry, whatever, anything. They will let you do it. So, you know, just to keep all you stoners on red alert, it's happening, and it's happening for free.
That's a good, like, marketing stunt.
Although, it's weird. I still, as much as I, like, talk about, like, oh, that would be cool, I still only eat breakfast at McDonald's.
You still only eat breakfast?
Yeah, that's, like, I haven't had, like, a non-breakfast item that wasn't fries in a pretty long time.
Right. The fries are so good, though, man.
The breakfast, like, the cult of breakfast at McDonald's is something that I have never got into.
Yeah,
like,
no, I know. It's fucking weird.
Like, I'm not, like, even as a kid, like, I honestly didn't have breakfast at McDonald's until I was, like, in my 30s.
Right.
Like, it just wasn't a thing that, like, I was like, why would I want this? And then I had it, and I was like, okay.
Yeah. You want to start your day off feeling like you have something wrong with you.
For me, it started off because my mom's Japanese. Like, I did not grow up eating traditional American breakfast foods.
Yeah, I get that.
So I sort of began fetishizing, like, eggs and bacon and sausage and, like, a McMuffin type shit. And then I used to play hockey, so you would wake up fucking wild early to go to practice and
games. Yeah.
And that was like the only thing. My practice would be over. It would be 7 a.m.
Right, totally.
And then my dad would be like, let's get McDonald's. My dad's black. So he was like, let's get McDonald's. And then from there, I was like, see, this is what I like. And I would ask my mom to buy sauce. She's like, I don't know how to make that.
Yeah, she's like, I'm not doing that. Yeah,
so then that's how, for me, it kind of turned into that.
Interesting.
But I know people that are also just, you know, red-blooded Americans.
Yeah, no,
who
you're
just
not alone.
Fucking love the shit out of it. And I don't know what it is, if it's a convenience thing, if it's just like the proper MSG and salt and fat is just hitting your brain at the right, you know, levels that it becomes addictive, but yeah.
No, I mean, I've definitely like enjoyed the shit out of McDonald's over my lifetime. Don't get me wrong. Too. It's just not something that like.
No, I know because it's one of those things like the cult of bacon.
Yeah.
It's very similar. You said there's the cult of McDonald's breakfast where people are like, will just spill their blood in the street for it.
Oh, yeah, for sure. I'm more fascinated by people that are like, I eat a Big Mac every single day for the last like 97 years. Like there's some dude that is like eating a Big Mac every single day.
Yeah. Warren Buffett eats McDonald's breakfast every single morning and he's still alive and doing well. Last I heard.
Some say he's doing well.
Yeah.
I don't know. I have a theory about like your body can be like if you do anything in repetition, your body can adapt to it.
Right.
Yeah. That's right.
So it's like if you had 5 Cheerios and, you know, a bowl full of sugar every single day and you know, for your whole life and that's what your body knows, I think it would be more detrimental if you're like the one day you don't have that bowl of sugar.
Right.
Right.
No, I had a friend whose grandma like only ate hot dogs and drank Diet Pepsi.
Yeah.
In like the last 20 years of her life, up until she was like 98.
Damn.
Honestly, I'm not gonna lie, I'm kind of looking forward to that future.
Yo, but there like, was she was like,
it's
I just
all
had
genetics,
my cigarette.
Man,
yeah, man.
Genetics.
Like when I hit 60, if I'm still kicking, like I'm not I'm gonna do all of the things that I don't want to do anymore.
Right.
Like
there
that I tried, I'm gonna be like, oh no, guess what? Yeah, you know, I definitely smoke a joint every single morning right. before I talk yeah. to anybody.
Right. By the way, I'm not saying it's all genetics. Yeah, your choices exactly. can impact yeah. your sure.
But at that point, I'm 60. Like, I put in these good years. Yeah. You know yeah, what I mean? Like what else?
Fuck it. Let's ride out.
Let's do this. Yeah. I just want to wild out and do whatever I want there and not go. Be asked questions about it.
Perfect.
Briefly, let's talk about Sweethearts, because this is the drought that absolutely nobody was going to notice if we hadn't mentioned it. Right. Nobody gives a shit about these things. But those shitty pieces of edible sidewalk chalk, as yeah. you wrote, Miles, those are not going to be around this Valentine's Day.
Yeah. So
fake news.
Right. Well, so remember we talked about how Necco wafers went under? And I was like, good riddance to right. them shits. And then that same company that went under, the New England Confectionery Company, they were bought by Spangler Candy Company. So somehow this company was like, we need to keep the Necco wafer alive. But they said this year they are not going to be producing the Sweetheart, which means that the Brax brand of Conversation Hearts has right. picked up the mantle. And apparently it's like a lot of people are buying it because they're just Sweethearts are very, there's not much supply right now.
Right.
But again, I don't know. There's not some shits that I really ever looked forward to. There were always something like you would get and you would immediately throw away.
Nobody eats those.
Right.
Right?
Well, you eat them once and then you're like, oh, fuck.
You eat these one, you're like, what the fuck yeah. is this?
But shit? These are very important to the second grade economy of
candy grams.
Exchanges of, you know.
Somebody just needs to put out an article that said they have peanuts in them. Everything will be right, fine. Right,
like, oh, no.
Yeah. This the is some end. Old fake news. This is some like, oh, that other company went out of business. Do people give a shit? Let's pretend that there's not enough. And
right.
then we'll spur sales. This is a lovely marketing spin and a wonderful job by the Brex Candy Company and their PR department.
Yes.
Boom.
Kudos
and that
to them.
Is what we're here for. Yep. To perpetuate the marketing spins of
Brax.
Giant food companies.
So yeah, let's take a quick break and a word from our sponsor, the Brax Candy Company.
We will be taking a quick break. Hopefully this isn't the Brax campaign that this ad is, but we'll be back in a moment.
Hey, here's something you might not know about wireless. Sometimes what you see isn't what you get. But with Visible, what you see is what you get. Switch to Visible, the wireless company that makes wireless visible. Get a one-line plan with unlimited 5G data powered by Verizon, just $25 per month, taxes and fees included. Visible is the wireless company that makes wireless visible. No hidden fees, no really. Save on wireless with unlimited 5G data powered by Verizon. You don't need more than one line of wireless to save. Just switch to Visible at Visible.com. Save on wireless without the hassle. Switch to Visible today and save at Visible.com. Monthly rate on the Visible plan. For data management practices and additional terms, visit Visible.com.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with a king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets. If you don't win your first bet, that's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
You like to watch new stuff, right, Zygang? I know I do. Well, go to Hulu and see what's new. Because Hulu has new stuff all the time, like Vanderpump Villa, the new docudrama starring Lisa Vanderpump. Join Lisa and her hand-selected staff at Chateau Rosabelle, a glamorous estate in the French countryside, as they live, work, and play together 24/7. Vanderpump Villa is where first-class luxury meets world-class drama. And don't miss the new season of The Kardashians, starring The Kardashians, of course. And season 5 promises new horizons for the entire Kardashian clan. And if you're looking for steamy streams, check out Grand Cayman Secrets in Paradise, the sizzling new reality show set on the tropical Caribbean island of Grand Cayman, where the rich come to play. But be warned, it's a small island. And secrets don't stay secret for long. So come check out what's new on Hulu this month. It's streaming now, and it's waiting for you on Hulu.
Rev up your thrills this summer at Cedar Point on the all-new Top Thrill 2. Drive the sky on the world's tallest and fastest triple-launch vertical speedway. And now, for a limited time, get more Cedar Point fun for less with our limited-time bundle for just $49.99. Get admission, parking, and all-day drinks for one low price. But you better hurry, because this bundle won't last long. Save now at cedarpoint.com.
And we're back, and we are thrilled to be joined on the phone by Right Wing Watch's very own, the lightning rod of the right wing, the enemy of the right wing, Mr. Jared Holt. What's going on, man?
Oh, thanks for having me. It's a pleasure to be back.
Yeah, well, I'm glad, you know, you reached out to me on Twitter because we were trying to, like, just get all the details on this Covington Catholic showdown in D.C. where it was very clear to us what was going on, and then suddenly the media took a right turn on their coverage of it, and suddenly we were talking about how children's lives were being ruined.
Yes, we want to give white boys the benefit of every
yes.
doubt.
Let's wait for the whole video to come out.
Right.
Although Botham Jean had right. weed, so he should have been shot.
Right, right.
Like, what the fuck is that? Anyway, so Jared, yeah, like you were mentioning, like, you know, this wasn't just some organic thing. Like, PR firms were hired and there was a coordinated effort to begin to sort of spin the coverage of this.
Yeah, if this story seems chaotic or confusing or like nobody knows what's going on, that is on purpose. Because whenever it's a PR strategy, whenever you can flood the zone with, you know, bits and pieces and various claims of information, that provides a solid foundation to build a new narrative. And that's exactly what we've seen develop over, what is it, day 4, day 5 of this story?
Mm-hmm. And so, like, it started off with everyone just sort of initially seeing the first clip of Nicholas Sandman in, yeah, Nathan Phillips. He was playing his drum, and you just see that shit-eating grin in his face, and you see all his classmates, you know, mocking him and things like that, and just whatever, hooting and hollering and shit. And at first, everyone was like, okay, look at this shit. Look at yet again another group of MAGA-clad young people harassing this Native American elder. And then suddenly people were like, well, we need to see the whole tape. You know, they didn't mob him. He came up to them, and therefore this kid was standing his ground and just being polite or whatever.
Stand your ground.
Yeah, was like, and literally motherfuckers were saying, stand your ground. That's when I was like, you lost me there. But yeah, yeah, so yeah. Kind of like walk us through sort of the evolution of how we got to, you know, looking at this video to suddenly people like, you know, Whoopi Goldberg and Joy Behar in The View saying, I think we jumped too quickly.
We jumped the gun, guys. Yeah. The Atlantic, the columnist who wrote about it, was like, I'm going to sit the next outrage wave out, you guys. I made a bad decision. So, yeah, let's talk about how the story actually evolved.
Yeah. So it was late afternoon after the March for Life rally, which is a rally that takes place in D.C. every year where various religious organizations and schools, you know, bus in a ton of kids and a ton of activists into D.C. for a few days to fight against women's rights to reproductive health care. These group of kids from Covington Catholic High School in Kentucky were at the Lincoln Memorial, allegedly waiting on a bus, and they got into this altercation back and forth. Maybe altercation's too harsh of a word, like shouting match with Black Hebrew Israelites, which anybody who lives in a major city has seen this group. They show up on street corners, yell inflammatory things, and seek to, you know, get attention. I sort of liken it to the Westboro Baptist Church. So then in comes Nathan Phillips and some various indigenous activists that are in town for the Indigenous People's March. And, you know, they get in between the groups. Nathan Phillips is banging his drum and singing. And then you get to the point where this clip is filmed. That clip goes viral overnight into early Saturday. And media personalities watch the clip. If I remember right, it was about 2 minutes. And a lot of them, you know, reacted to what they saw, which was incredible disrespect, and it was just gross. It just felt gross, you know? And then in comes this right-wing, you know, media PR campaign that, you know, is being ginned up by this PR firm in Kentucky called Run Switch PR. And it starts with people like Joey Salads, who is a right-wing YouTuber who is infamous for pissing into his own mouth for views. And, you know, sort of filters up into people like the Mike Cernoviches of the world, the Jack Posobiecs of the world, people who already have sort of a questionable credibility because of involvement with conspiracy theories and outlets like InfoWars. They pick up the story. And then from there, it gets picked up in Reason Magazine. And that is really sort of what lit the match on this. And once it was in Reason, it shot up through conservative media. And, you know, with each new additional video angle that came out, there were more and more cries for reporters to retract their claims or to correct their claims. But what's important to remember is no amount of additional footage or content changed the facts of what happened in that video. And what people originally reacted to still stands. It still happens. You know, really, this is just sort of like a classic story of major media outlets and, you know, what we believe to be credible reporters getting thrown off their game by a, you know, wide-scale misinformation campaign. And sort of in the process, whether consciously or not, granting a luxury to these students that you don't see media grant to people in other cases, like, you know, most prominently when young black men get shot by the police.
Right.
I feel like functionally or even contextually, the only thing that I saw that changed was maybe the idea that these kids swarmed Nathan Phillips and that he approached them. But even in that context, right, like when they were like, well, we had to just sort of like we were just responding in the way we thought. I mean, even then, I don't even think that is the decent way. Right. If you're going to objectively try and not avoid any kind of conflict, you just walk away.
Yeah.
But rather than everybody has their MAGA hats on, they're all turned up. They're doing the chop and saying all kinds of other things. And I mean,
yeah, like, they're doing the tomahawk chop in the background. That is like,
how is that misinterpreted? Right, I am sorry.
Right. Misinterpreted.
But whether you're a child or whether you are 172, like, I think it's pretty easy to identify disrespect.
Yeah, exactly.
And I think fundamentally we should try to treat each other with as much respect as we humanly can, even when we're in moments of debate.
Yeah.
Because I think debate is important, right? And you're gonna need to have conversations about things. That's decidedly different than being accusatory, being aggressive, being disrespectful, being dismissive.
Right.
And whatever package you want to wrap around that. But like the bottom line is this, like they all had red MAGA hats on, right? And like, I'm sorry, but like groups of young white men are not known to really be like great.
Yeah. Well, and they
you
also
know what
have...
I mean? In that situation, approaching people of color, like, oh yeah, we're just supposed to be like, oh, these poor guys, like, oh, you mean the future tormentors of America?
Right.
Exactly. You mean the next generation of oppressors?
Yeah. Well, and you think about the history of white intimidation against groups of people of color who are trying to demonstrate or are trying to protest. Like, everyone was running all those historical photos of how, look, shit has not changed.
Right.
You know, like, there's a history of this, of people trying to have their voices heard and then being intimidated. So I think it falls in line with that. And then this idea that they're, you know, I think with Sarah Huckabee Sanders, like, oh, how quickly we love to destroy a child's life. You'll miss me with that shit.
Yes.
Because when these kids are brown at the border and you're splitting them the fuck up from their families, where is that empathy?
What about, the children that are in cages that are dying because we won't give them water because their parents are trying to make passage for a better life for their children.
It's really frustrating. And I think there's a lot of people were instantly, I think the other thing too is we do live in an era, right, where we have acknowledged that people are sort of bringing their own shit to even looking at a given image or video.
Of course.
And I think that's why people were able to play around with that, because some people saw, oh, I just saw a kid smiling. Other people were like, I know that shit-eating grin because I've been on the other end of that shit-eating grin in my life. And other people were like, I don't know. We still have to see. And I think they were able to play around with a lot of people bringing their own sort of viewpoint to that and sort of missing the overarching point, like you said, Jared, is that we know disrespect when we see it. And this, they're not having their lives destroyed. I don't see any of these kids, they're being run out on a rail from anywhere. If anything, they're being shamed for their shameful behavior.
Right.
Yes.
And I think, again, but the right-wing victim self-victimization machine fired up, like, real quick.
Of course.
And we got to this point.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We know what the MAGA hat symbolizes. They know what the MAGA hat symbolizes. This is apparently a popular thing for groups of white high school students to do, is buy MAGA hats. And like, there was a group that went to the National Museum of African American History wearing it. And like, it's meant as a provocation. It's like, yeah, a transgressive, yes, act. And he's wearing it with a shit-eating grin on his face, and not, as Tucker Carlson suggested, like a scared look on his face.
Right.
Motherfucker, please.
Get out of here. Well,
yeah, and then to that point, too, he has a PR firm, right? Nathan Phillips doesn't.
Yeah.
Cut to Nick Sandman on the Today Show,
right,
on Wednesday, and then telling Savannah Guthrie that he's not sorry,
right,
for what happened.
Yeah.
He just says, I wish things happened differently.
Right.
And then now this has been deployed as another piece in the culture war, too, because now I think there's rumors that, like, Trump might have them, the Covington High School kids, to the White House or some shit.
Oh,
I don't know if that's true. I've read things like that. But, of course, that would happen.
Yeah, you know? I mean, the hat is a symbol of Trump, and it symbolizes hatred. Like, that's just the point that we're at with this president. We have an actual person who got into power via hatred. Like, there's no disputing that. And to ignore that, and to ignore the fact that he's wearing a MAGA hat in the face of, you know, somebody who is there explicitly because they are part of a oppressed minority, like, just miss me with that shit, yeah, about them, like, fucking, like, needing our sympathy and the benefit of our doubt. They're being intentionally transgressive. And, you know, this is a school, by the way, that has a history of just all sorts of weird shit. Like, they have students at basketball games wear blackface.
Yeah.
Pep rallies.
They said, well, we have all theme nights. We have whiteout, blueout, blackout. And uh-huh. So we're just showing our school spirit. That's what they said on,
yeah,
Fox and Friends.
Yeah.
And again, okay, when you have people in all black, but you're painting on a smiley face and eyes.
Yes.
You're not just blacking your body. You're,
right,
you're putting on blackface.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And especially when then you go,
maybe
there,
skip the blackout.
Yeah. Skip,
right,
the blackout.
Maybe skip the blackout.
Paint your body white, blue, great.
Yeah.
There's too much history.
Skip the red out, skip the yellow,
yeah,
out, skip the brown out.
Yeah, exactly.
Let's just do purple out, green
do
out.
Impossible,
whatever,
skin tones.
And I bet when, yes, they're doing the blue out, they don't have a big smiley face, like, painted on their face. Like,
nah,
it's a minstrel cartoon.
Well, right. And again, too, like, even the images you've seen of them, like, there were students in blackface, like, just like trying to, like, I don't know, provoke a black basketball player in the opposition team at a game. You're like, come on. And like, you know, a lot of people, I don't know how much of these anecdotes are true, but other people have come out with stories of, like, people who had gone there in the past, and, like, you know, this is not really surprising for this school.
Right.
Right.
So, I mean, you know.
Oh, I mean, like, this can all, like, feel very frustrating, and you, like, look to media outlets in this country, especially the big ones, and you wonder, like, how this could happen. But the fact is, like, this thing, whether it's, you know, the photos of the students in blackface get up, or, you know, this original clip, or various, you know, other details that are coming out about how these boys behaved at the march, or things that have happened at the school, like, it's all very clear, but it's sort of a big problem that we have in our reporting right now, which is that, you know, right-wing causes are able to completely manipulate reporters and change the conversation entirely, and in the process, abandon all responsibility for anything shitty that's happening or any problems in this country that we need to have an honest conversation about.
Right. It's happening with the quote-unquote debate over the wall. Like, now suddenly Nancy Pelosi is being depicted as, you know, just one side in this debate over, like, whether the wall needs to be funded and the government shutdown. And, you know, they're the Democrats not willing to entertain any ideas on funding a monument to racism is now, you know, that's just one side of the debate. This is going to happen in a world where, you know, the president himself is, his name is used as a taunt by school bullies and people who are, like, harassing someone for racist reasons.
Yeah. in a coming off a year where the, you know, white people committed the most extremist violence ever this last year.
Right.
So, you know, shit like that's on the rise. And also, I think there also needs to be just as much, you know, smoke for these parents and teachers too. You know what I mean?
Oh, 100%.
Because like, yeah, I get to a certain point, you know, when you're a kid, you really don't know shit. But also you need, that's where mentors, teachers, parents need to step in also to make sure, you know, that fucking kids are raised right. Right. Or learn the minimum for respect.
I agree with you 100%, but that's why I call them the future oppressors of America, right? Because within their constructs of their school and their community, they are probably the stalwarts of the community. They're upstanding citizens. They're modeling all of the behaviors that they're watching. They live in a community that has like the protection of the cloak of unaccountability that Trump has been giving people. You know what I mean? Like, to your point, Jack, like, that's exactly what people are saying, is they're going around and being like, well, the president supports me, so why should I finally have, right, I finally have to stop pretending that I don't feel this way.
Oh yeah.
Right.
If Barack Obama was like, yo, smoke blunts every day.
Right.
I would be like, that's what exactly. Yeah. That's what Obama said.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, that adds an other dimension of confidence to what you do, or to have, you know, you can be sanctimonious about shit because you're like, oh, well, he's on my side.
Right.
Truth is on my side.
You know, all of these little communities that are very hate-filled that have been, you know, slowly burning that oil, that same tallow that they, you know, killed a while ago, are now pouring vats of it onto it because they can, and nobody is stopping them.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? But to Jared's point, that's the sad part about how we talk about it in the media, what we amplify,
right,
the stories that we tell, the spin that people forget how much money is going on behind this.
Right.
Right. And to your point, you know, I'm with you, Miles, where it's like, at some point, like, these kids are just kids, and I always hope that, you know, instead of getting doxxed or, like, death threats or whatever, that this could just be a teachable moment. But we're seeing, like, the reaction here was not to have a teachable moment. The reaction was to hire a PR firm and run a media operation that they're using to just bludgeon reporters over the head and gaslight them entirely.
Yeah, and let him go on Today's show and be like, I'm not sorry.
Right.
I'm sorry that people are upset. I'm sorry that it could have gone a different way. Hindsight, I was standing my ground. It's like, and he looked, man, like, he looked so, like, lawyers ran through all the words he can and can't use and shit. But again, this is where, you know, when this kind of story now enters culture war territory, that's when all this shit mobilizes around it and we get a situation like this. So.
Right. And just speaking of the parents, there was a mother of one of the boys who wrote to heavy.com and was like, it was shameful. Did you witness the black Muslims yelling profanities and videotaping to get something to further your narrative of hatred? So we see where their true colors lie.
They the black Muslims
turned the black Israelites into the black Muslims.
Who are already a problematic group. I mean, nobody's
right. Yeah, no, nobody's
them, but like, yeah.
Yeah, but they're just like, yeah, no, Muslims.
Yeah.
You know?
Uh-huh. I mean, buzzword, say? Black Muslims. Yeah, we love fighting against that shit.
They're trying to turn that shit into the Crusades.
But yeah, again, you know, it's important to look where everybody's empathy's going.
Right.
Because it's, you know, we've shown in the last year, things happen when you're just a white teenager. We can forget about it. You know, Brett Kavanaugh, just like his beers. And we can just act like, you know, it's a youthful transgression.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. But, you know, this is the state of things.
Right. All right, Jared. And we're going to have you back on to discuss the QAnon stuff, because I'm very curious as to what people who believe that Donald Trump is teaming up with Mueller to play this long game to put Obama and Clinton in jail.
Yeah.
I'm curious how they're like bending their mind around that. And that's something I know you keep up with.
Yeah. I mean, believing in this conspiracy theory to begin with already takes a lot of, you know, mental gymnastics that someone has to put themselves through. But as more news about, you know, the Mueller probe is coming out by the day, and, you know, Rudy Giuliani is getting on TV and admitting that he just loves to do crimes. you know, this community is getting it's getting a little weird, and it was already weird to start. So if you think like, what's weird for the weirdos, that's sort of where it's at. But something I've been watching and tracking, they currently are floating around this theory that Ruth Bader Ginsburg, who has missed a few days on the Supreme Court for health reasons, has already died, and that Democrats are currently seeking out a body double to stand in for her.
Oh, so it's like that movie Dave.
Right. Yeah.
With Sigourney Weaver.
Yeah. That's not a documentary?
Kevin Kline.
I thought that was...
Yo, I don't know.
It's based on fact.
I remember he had those robot arms, and he said, I once caught a fish this big, and it was like 40 feet across. Yeah. All right, well, Jared, thank you, man. We're going to have you back for that little queue update later on, but we appreciate you for that little update, that tease.
All right, we're going to take a quick break. We'll be right back.
Hey, here's something you might not know about wireless. Sometimes what you see isn't what you get. But with Visible, what you see is what you get. Switch to Visible, the wireless company that makes wireless visible. Get a one-line plan with unlimited 5G data powered by Verizon, just $25 per month, taxes and fees included. Visible is the wireless company that makes wireless visible. No hidden fees, no really. Save on wireless with unlimited 5G data powered by Verizon. You don't need more than one line of wireless to save. Just switch to Visible at Visible.com. Save on wireless without the hassle. Switch to Visible today and save at Visible.com. Monthly rate on the Visible plan. For data management practices and additional terms, visit Visible.com.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with a king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets. If you don't win your first bet, that's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
You like to watch new stuff, right, Zai Gang? I know I do. Well, go to Hulu and see what's new. Because Hulu has new stuff all the time, like Vanderpump Villa, the new docudrama starring Lisa Vanderpump. Join Lisa and her hand-selected staff at Chateau Rosabelle, a glamorous estate in the French countryside, as they live, work, and play together 24/7. Vanderpump Villa is where first-class luxury meets world-class drama. And don't miss the new season of The Kardashians, starring The Kardashians, of course. And season 5 promises new horizons for the entire Kardashian clan. And if you're looking for steamy streams, check out Grand Cayman Secrets in Paradise, the sizzling new reality show set on the tropical Caribbean island of Grand Cayman, where the rich come to play. But be warned, it's a small island. And secrets don't stay secret for long. So come check out what's new on Hulu this month. It's streaming now, and it's waiting for you on Hulu.
Top Thrill 2 is like no other course. 2 420-foot vertical speedways, 3 launches.
All right, let's talk strategy.
Copy that, driver. Go for maximum acceleration off the start.
Measure that.
You've got a short straightaway to push from 0 to 74 on the first vertical speedway.
And what about the rollback?
Rollback will set you up for an explosive reverse climb 420 feet in the sky so you reach 0 G's in total weightlessness.
420 feet of straight-up speed. Let's get it.
Top Thrill 2, the world's tallest and fastest triple-launch strata coaster. Get your tickets at cedarpoint.com.
And we're back, and just a couple stories from Trump world to check in on. So Trump's response to Nancy Pelosi on the State of the Union, you know, she said that there are security concerns. You know, people speculate she was being a little trollish, but there are obviously security concerns when you have, what is it, the 5 most powerful people? The first 5 people in line for the presidency?
The entire government, basically. You have the Supreme Court.
Yeah.
You have the Joint Chiefs.
And then Kiefer Sutherland in some room across town
just to
keep us safe.
A big comical clock just ticking away.
Right, exactly.
Exactly. But so Trump's response to her was just so funny to me because, so he shot back, there are no security concerns regarding the State of the Union address. Therefore, I will be honoring your invitation and fulfilling my constitutional duty to deliver the important information to people in Congress. It's just, it's such a...
There are no security.
It's such a small thing because, okay, the way any professional person, anyone who knows like just how logic works would be like, we recognize the immense importance of the State of the Union and the security challenges therein. And like, we are working to make sure it's safe. To just come back and say there are no security concerns.
Yeah. No security concerns at all at the White House.
Regarding the State of the Union address.
Owned. Now, take that, Pelosi. There are no security concerns. What else you got?
It's just such next level. Like, it's a good example of, you know, why people think he's playing 4D chess. Because, I mean, he's not. But it's like, it's effective because it just... is so exasperating. Yeah. So throws you off. You're just like, what the fuck do you mean there are no security? Like, by saying something that's plainly not true.
Right. It's like playing chess with somebody and their move is just to wipe your pieces off the board with their arms. And then they're like, this is actually 4D chess.
Right.
And you're like, nah, I won. I'm playing chess and you don't know what the fuck you're doing.
Yeah. You don't even understand how chess works.
Yeah. Like, you just bashed my shit off the board. Okay.
Apparently, Pelosi has responded and been like, well, you can't do it in Congress. So there's some back and forth taking place on that. So he's going to do a State of the Union from somewhere, maybe Covington Catholic. We'll
oh, shit.
See.
Also,
from their gym.
I mean, I know this is an important thing and I know we want to, but like, he's just going to say a bunch of things that we don't fucking care about.
Right.
He's going to be like, everything's great. McDonald's is wonderful. America's
bacon.
It's bacon. Did you know that there's a bacon hour? He should have it at bacon hour.
Oh, shit.
Like,
yes.
If you know what I mean? Like, and now everyone, forget about these children that we've killed.
Yeah.
Forget about all of our problems. Everybody gets bacon. Like,
did you guys hear about bacon hour?
Oh, my God.
Well, it's what Stephen Miller's going to write about immigrants.
Right.
Is really what that State of the Union is. It's not even Trump.
It's just going to be true crime, like, just stories in great detail about murders.
Remember the last one?
Yeah.
Was just
the 8 minutes.
I called it Donald Trump's menagerie of villainous immigrants.
Yes.
When he was like, now look at this. Yeah. Behold a family whose child was taken by MS-13.
Yes. It's important to keep in mind, guys, that immigrants commit crime at a far lower rate than native-born Americans.
Yeah.
Keep that in mind.
White males in red hats.
Right. Sure. Another story from inside the halls of power at the Trump administration is they're apparently frustrated with Rudy Giuliani's performance on these morning shows.
How could
when
they
he keeps
be?
Going on. And I even said a couple days ago, like when we were watching the clips, I was like, he's drunk, right? Like that.
Yeah.
Like, he just looks drunk. He's acting drunk. His mind is working like that of a drunk person.
Well, when you slouch in a TV interview, you're fucked up.
Yeah, man.
Yeah. And apparently they have the same concerns because, you know, some people have speculated that it's by design. He's going on and just like throwing all this crazy shit out there and then retracting it so that it softens the blow for worse news they know is dropping later on. But it turns out that the Trump administration is just like, man, what the fuck is this guy doing?
Right.
When we're saying, wait, what is he doing? They're saying, wait, what is he doing at the same time?
Everyone's like, wait,
what's happening?
Yeah. Did he just admit that we were talking about the Trump Tower deal in Moscow up until November? Oh,
yeah. And the Daily Mail, which we've admitted is a garbage tabloid.
Daily fail.
It usually actually has a rightward lean, but it's added to my existing suspicions about his drinking by saying that basically there are people in the administration who are concerned he's going on the shows drunk. My suspicions aren't based on nothing. He's said before that he can't remember if he had a couple of drinks before or after going on Hannity.
Right.
Has been spotted drinking at his favorite cigar bar before appearing on TV later that day and reportedly didn't get brought on by Trump early on in his administration, like after the initial transition, because Trump and, you know, Pence were worried he was drinking too much.
Right.
So,
and even other journalists were like, I got a weird call late at night from Rudy Giuliani and he was drunk.
Yes.
And like, they'll put out stories. So this is like a very common theme.
Yes.
With the old mayor.
Wow.
America's mayor.
I think I'm here for it.
Yeah.
Like,
he's a mess.
Yeah.
That comes because you got to think about like why people drink, right?
Right.
Outside of just like alcoholism.
Sure.
Right.
Sure.
Like it starts somewhere and it comes from somewhere. And you think that like alcohol is an escape when you're desperate, when everything becomes so unmanageable, you have to put like a veil over yourself in order to like walk through. So like he must know.
Right, like, you know what
I
mean?
Like, where he's at, and he's just like, fuck it. Like, you know when you have a, you've had a job for so long, you just don't give a shit anymore, and you're like, fucking fire me.
Right.
And you just show up, like, whatever. Up, right. You just, like, don't do the closing duties, you know what I mean? You tell your man, you know, you fuck someone in the walk-in with the door open. You're just like, who cares? Yeah. Like, what do you think somebody else wants to run this grill at this hour? I don't think so. Like, I think he's just like, you know, fuck it. Did I have drinks before or after the cigar bar? I don't know. Who's going to come take my keys?
Right.
Because it's more incendiary to step down and be like, I'm not a part of this. I've been asked to be, you know, adjacent to things I fundamentally don't agree with, or I do agree with, and I can't keep from telling you that I don't not agree. And, you know what I mean? Like, this is just like a wild cry for help.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah. I mean, people who have alcohol issues are not the best judges of their own performance on things.
Sure. Oh, that's when you've reached that
point. He thinks he is nailing these fucking interviews.
Well, yeah, or is he just knows he's fucking up? Because remember on one of the Sunday shows, he was like, I don't care if it says here lies Rudy Giuliani. He lied for Donald Trump.
Right.
Like, he was also like, was he showing his hand there? Like, sort of to your theory, Lydia, that he's like, fuck it.
He's like, I think St. Peter will understand.
Right. He's like, I'll be able to explain it to St. Peter.
Yeah.
Either that or he's got way worse shit that he's hiding for him. And he's just like, I don't know, man. One of these two things, one of these eggs is going to crack. And I don't know which one it is.
And it can't be me.
Yeah.
Right.
Also, how do you fire somebody who you're not even paying?
Right.
That's the other amazing part to this dimension of the story is he's doing it for free.
Yes. Yeah.
He's putting his shit on the line for free.
Yeah.
And I wonder if it must be that he hasn't been relevant since the 2008 primaries to become president.
Right.
So I guess maybe that's what was going on.
Yeah.
Or maybe he thinks this is the road to presidency.
Yeah. He might.
He's like, I need to show the American people that I am completely inadequate. Yeah. Yeah. I need to show them that I am off my GD rocker.
Right.
Yeah.
And I'm good on camera.
Yeah. What's
that's
up?
True.
He's like, just, I'm an entertainer. Yeah.
Like, this is apparently what they're into.
That's his drunk equivalent of dropping, you're fired. You know, he's just like, I'm shit faced.
I'm fucked up. You know, it's just like, if you've done something, maybe it's a Moscow Tower. There's no plans, though. There's no plans showing up. And that's the thing. Just everybody's acting like there is. There wasn't.
Most and people are really bad at acting drunk. Yeah. Miles is really good at
it. Hey, dude, you know, this is fucking drunk guy. You gotta just live how you live, dude.
I've spent enough time around drunk people. And finally, I want to talk about AOC's tax plan just because there are three stories, the three top stories. If you Google AOC 70% tax on people making $10 million or over, the top three stories are from Bloomberg, Forbes, and the Wall Street Journal, and they're the case against Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez's 70% tax rate, a 70% income tax rate for the super rich. There may be a better way.
So Forbes.
and then the crippling cost of 70% tax rates. So it's just worth noting here that there is 59% support among registered voters for this idea, 45% among Republicans. This is a very popular idea among people who are not being paid by corporations that are named after billionaires, like Bloomberg, Forbes, and then I guess Wall Street Journal.
Mr. Wall Street Journal.
Right. Well, they're just named after an industry that's only God is making billionaires.
Industry rags for the billionaires.
Yes. And meanwhile, over in Davos, the Coachella for billionaires is meeting, and everybody's shook about this shit. They are really worried about how popular it is, about how much attention AOC is getting. Scott Minard, who is the global chief investment officer for the $265 billion Guggenheim Partners, said in an interview, quote, "It's scary. By the time we get to the presidential election, this is going to gain more momentum. And I think the likelihood that a 70% tax rate or something like that becomes policy is actually very real." And AOC just clapped back on Twitter. "It's wild that some people are more scared of marginal tax rate than the fact that 40% of Americans struggle to pay for at least one basic need like food or rent." So, yeah, it's just this is something we frequently, or I frequently find myself saying when political progress is made, that it's like, oh, somebody just decided to start telling the truth or saying the things that are actually representative of what people want.
Well, you look at this new wave of politicians who are not accepting PAC money, who are doing only small ball, small donor donations. Right. They don't. They are not beholden to Wall Street like the last generation of politicians mm-hmm. were, who were fine obscuring those numbers, and you know, or maybe just being like, we need to help working people, but not being like, we need a 70% marginal tax right. on the highest earners.
Yeah, you say vague generalities, yeah. but meanwhile, you're taking all of your campaign funding from these Wall Street.
Right, and to get, I mean, just to give you context, like historically, the U.S. has had very high tax brackets, like for people like this.
Yeah.
Like in Eisenhower's day, it was like 91%.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And that also, who'd have thunk it, coincides with the time the middle class in America was the strongest is
yes.
when the highest earners are paying their share.
Yes.
And this isn't to say 70% of what you make is taxed. It says when you hit $10 million, okay,
right.
after that, we're taxing everything at 70%.
Yes.
Yeah. Oh, you're really going to cry about your $10 million every year?
Right. Exactly.
And again, that
you make $10 million a year.
A year.
A year. You know what I mean? I'm
yeah.
not. I couldn't make $10 million if you gave me $10 million worth of scratchers. You know what I mean?
It's but wild.
I'm going to need you to think more about your personal potential. If you don't see it, you'll never make
That's
it.
That's true. You know what? Those are limiting thoughts.
Sorry.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
No, I have a lot of resistance around money, yeah. as Abraham was saying. You know, I'm trying to release those.
As a young, smart man of color, I need you to believe more in yourself.
Yeah,
you're not going to get that chat. You look white passing. So I'm yeah. focusing that just at you. I just,
yeah,
I
no,
need
no,
you.
No, no, no. You're right.
I need you to live and believe in yourself.
I'm getting that.
Okay.
The and then there's other sort of
Jack, I gotta go, man. I'm getting $70.
There are other more mainstream stories coming out. Like a panel of economists was asked if this idea of a 70% tax rate would stimulate the economy without hurting American investment or some shit like that. But the way they worded it suggested that it would be for people who made over like the current highest tax bracket, which is $650,000.
Right.
And economists were like, yeah, that's probably not a great idea. So then people reported it like 70% tax rate. Not so like there's a conspiracy going on here.
Yeah.
Like American media, American corporations are going to fight with every fiber of their being to shoot this idea down. And it's going to require somebody with direct access to American ears, like the Daily Zeitgeist, you know, like AOC, to
yeah.
actually just, you know, keep communicating the truth despite, you know, what wealthy corporate interests want.
Yeah. Or when you think about, again, a stat that we were trying to bring up last week about the richest 1% own 50% of the stocks
yeah.
held by American households.
Yeah.
Think about that shit. Of course they don't want the dollars after $10 million to be taxed.
Yeah.
So, again, another miss me with that shit.
AOC security detail needs to be stepped up, whatever the
security
fuck it is.
Security issues.
Oh, yeah.
Yes.
I know, man.
No.
Well, the way she's coming for these capitalist necks.
Yeah. You don't
Woo!
Think they're willing to just fucking...
I don't know.
Push her car off a cliff or
All
whatever.
They can do is dig up old college videos so far.
Right,
so
yeah. I mean, it's
that.
Been
Dude,
incredibly.
I hope it's her with her shirt off and a calculator like, what up?
Yeah, exactly.
We just made so much money at this party.
Right.
Like, I hope it was cracking.
Yeah.
Yes.
Know?
But if anything, I mean, it's inspiring. Like, my heritage is I am Mexican and I'm Russian. I openly identify as a Latina. That's just who I am. I was raised by a Mexican mother. So for me, I think it's really empowering to see her in office because she is speaking about things that traditionally Latina women don't speak about. Traditionally,
right.
Latina women do kind of hold the money in their household for like household expenses, but that it's directly given to them from men, right?
Right.
So, and that's not an unlikely story for most women. And I'm speaking of women because I'm a woman, but I think fiscal responsibility and fiscal health is something that we don't think a lot
mm-hmm.
about. And I think in general, most people that are in lower price brackets don't even understand what their tax bracket is or what the real impact of that is
right.
on their day-to-day sort of living in life. And the idea of creating wealth and having, you know, exercising financial health isn't
mm-hmm.
something that we're doing. So I'm excited to see her speaking so openly
yeah.
about these things because I'm hoping that we'll continue to inspire people of my generation and younger to be a little bit more aware, if not entirely more aware,
yeah.
of the power that your money holds and realizing that there is incredible power in knowing how your money works, knowing how much you pay in taxes, knowing how to invest, knowing how to save, understanding all those words. It's more than just going to a financial planner and dropping something off,
right?
It's
yeah.
about really
I
understanding
yeah.
how to build wealth for you and the next generations after
and
you.
And see those opportunities,
yeah,
too.
It's
yeah.
so important. And honestly, if we're talking about communities of color uprising and having more influence, that's what we need to do. You know what I mean? We have traditionally sent money outside of our immediate communities. You know, the amount of time that dollars are made and spent within their communities before they go out to white-owned businesses is incredible.
Right.
You know, so let's be responsible about this. Let's try to make less $10 million making white people.
Yeah.
Right.
Well, I think, and again, her the way she's communicating the point is good, too, because it's opening people's eyes, especially, as you say, even Republicans support it. Because I think when you sort of take away the obscurity of saying 70% tax and say, no, if you yes. a motherfucker making $10 million,
yes.
and then immediately everybody goes, that ain't me. Oh, hell yeah.
Yeah, go for it.
Please.
Yeah.
And then help give me some relief in my taxes. Because, yeah, I'm sure everybody, they always look at their paychecks and you see where those deductions go and what you're like, where the fuck?
Well, most people don't realize that, like, your tax bracket is a combination of things. Most people are getting taxed between 20 and 40% of their gross income.
Right.
You know what I mean? Depending upon where you're at. If you're married, if you have kids, what your deductions are. So it's like 30% more is a lot, but it's not that much more in comparison to how much more they're making.
Yeah, 100%. If someone's making 500
that
times
ratio.
More than you. Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, and I mean, with regards to the 10 million tax bracket, you know, those generally aren't people who are receiving paychecks that equal out to $10 million a year. They're coming in various ways where they're able to find tax loopholes and they're able to afford, you know, lawyers and tax attorneys who are able to just, you know, find ways to evade taxes.
And so, shell game it.
Yeah, shell game the shit out of it. And so it's much more likely in that case, if you get to 10 million taxable income, it's much more likely that your take home is way, way, way higher.
Right.
Woo. Well, Lydia, it's been a pleasure having you. This has been a really fun
Thanks.
Episode.
This is really fun.
Yeah.
It's good talking to you guys.
Likewise.
Where can people find you and follow you?
Sure. I am online at Hater Tuesday. That's my Twitter handle and my Instagram handle. My website is www.lydiapopovich.com, LYDIAPOPOVICH. Has all my show dates, kind of where you can see me around town. I am at the Improv most Wednesdays at Women Crush Wednesdays, which is a phenomenal show of all ladies. And I will be on the road with Marcella Arguello for most of February and March and April.
All right.
Right.
Yeah. Check it out. Come see us.
And is there a tweet you've been enjoying?
Ooh. I enjoyed all of the tweets from Cardi B this week and all of her responses to right-wing folks. I loved her response, and I don't remember who she said it to, but she was like, leave me alone. I will dog walk you.
Said to Tommy Lahren.
That is the diss of all disses. I will dog walk you.
Yeah.
Right.
Yo.
I had to explain that to somebody. They're like, well, what am
that,
I? No, you do not want to be dog walked. Is somebody telling you that? They have no respect.
Just filled me with joy.
Yeah.
Absolutely filled with me joy. And then I'll give a shout out to my homegirl, Marcella. She had a hilarious tweet, and I was like with her when it was like trending that made me laugh. And she tweeted a joke that's a great joke, and people just jumped on it and freaked out. And I was loving watching
was
the
her abortion joke?
Yes, it was. So she basically said, you know, a friend of mine saw me holding a baby and said, oh, Marcella, you look good holding that baby. And she's like, bitch, I look good because I look good. You should see me having an abortion. I'm breathtaking. It's hilarious. It's a great joke.
Yeah.
It's funny. It's lighthearted.
Yeah, and she got
lit.
They jumped.
Oh, they always jump and watch her. I love that. I loved the mentions more than the tweet. The tweet's great, but really the mentions are just gold.
I love the response to you when she was like, me when a joke goes like, triggers a bunch of right-wing people moonwalking with the
she's
shopping
not lying.
Cart.
It brings her great joy, but that was just so, so funny to me.
Yeah.
And then the last one I will say is there's not even one particular tweet, but RIP ASAP Yams. If you're not familiar with ASAP Yams, just go on Twitter. His Twitter profile is there, and he tweeted in all caps. It's all of the most ignorant things you've ever read, but it's just sometimes what I like to do when I'm feeling down is I just scroll through Yams' account and I just stop on whatever tweet and I read it and it makes me happy. But there's like nothing to be learned there. There's no like, it's the most ignorant Twitter account you've ever read, but
right.
in all of the great ways that you want it to be if you enjoy rap music.
Well, they just had ASAP Yams Day
last
week with a huge lineup.
Yeah.
It was like, a lot of people.
Everybody
in
loves
New York.
Yams. He was a blessed, precious soul. So he was a very, very funny young man. So I like reading through his stuff. So yeah, that's a fun one. If you just want to escape everything, go
right
look
on.
At someone's Twitter feed that's funny that's not alive anymore.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Miles, where can people find you?
Find me, follow me on Twitter and Instagram at Miles of Gray. A few tweets I like. One is from Daniel Kaluuya Stan at The Sundance Kiss. It says, white girls be like, OMG, stop. I hate the word moist. Then say the N-word. It's just so real to me. And also, this is just from Dan McCarl. It was from Carl Tart. just a tweet that I identify with. He says, Golden by Jill Scott is such an inspirational, spiritual, and uplifting song, but it will forever make me think of hitting the strip club before I commit crime in GTA 4. But yeah, I don't know what it is about living my life like it's golden. So that's my tweets. Oh, also, guys, if you want that Daily Zeitgeist merch, they're doing a sale on TeePublic, and you should get out there doing January sale. You get 30% off, so head over to teepublic.com and help us keep the one light we can afford to keep on with your merch sales.
Swinging light bulb in the middle of the room.
Yeah.
Honestly, guys, I don't even see a light bulb in here. Buy that merch. They need a light bulb.
We're going by
it's
sunlight.
It's out, but we will be replacing it in the next probably mid-February.
Yeah.
When that
paycheck
comes.
Whoa, all right, money bags. Mid-February.
Tweets I've been enjoying. Ben Rosen tweeted, don't piss on my leg and tell me it's raining, okay? I paid you to piss on me, not talk.
Funny.
Colin Crawford tweeted, was the fall for Rome also this fucking embarrassing? Which is just a good... question.
Micromilitarism.
Dan in Nebraska tweeted, I'm a 30-year-old federal employee who's been on furlough since 1229. I received half my paycheck on January 7th. My mortgage payment and two car payments are late, and today I was ordered back to work for no pay. If I don't show up, I will be fired. If you support Trump, I hope you rot in hell. So, you know. There you go. And then Molly Lambert finally... why does it always have the confidence of a mediocre white man instead of make mediocre white men feel as inferior as they actually are?
Flip it.
You can follow me on Twitter at Jack_O'Brien. You can follow us on Twitter at Daily Zeitgeist. We're at The Daily Zeitgeist on Instagram. We have a Facebook fan page and a website, dailyzeitgeist.com, where we post our episodes and our footnotes, where we link off to the information that we talked about in today's episode, as well as the song we were at out on. Miles, what's that going to be?
Oh, this is... Okay, so I don't know if you remember in Something About Mary, there was like that little Greek chorus of like the dude on guitar with the drummer. Okay, so that... is an artist named Jonathan Richman. And I only into Jonathan Richman because of Something About Mary. And my man, he is a prolific creator, has a lot of great albums. But this is one I particularly like from Modern Lovers, 88. This is called I Love Hot Nights. And he's just rumping and a-tumping on that guitar.
Rumping and a-tumping?
Yeah. Rumping and a-tumping.
Yeah, rumping and a-tumping, as Little Richard says.
That
is from a Little Richard interview about Jimi Hendrix. He said he would get to rumping and a-tumping on that guitar like, whoo, whoo.
Damn.
Yeah, he's flying on coke in that interview, too.
Yeah,
I'll play the clip for you later so you can understand. Yeah, but yes, great. This will, again, in the words of Little Richard, will make your big toe shoot up in your boot when you listen to it. So please enjoy this. Jonathan Richman, Modern Lovers, I Love Hot Nights.
All right, we're going to ride out on that. We will be back tomorrow because it is a daily podcast, and we'll talk to you then.
Hot Nights. Once I was tired, but now I'm fine. Was uninspired, but not this time. Now I'm just glad to see the harbor lights. Now I'm just glad to roam around at night. Oh, 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 oh. I love hot nights. You stay
up late. Here's something you might not know about wireless. Sometimes what you see isn't what you get. But with Visible, what you see is what you get. Switch to Visible, the wireless company that makes wireless visible. Get a one-line plan with unlimited 5G data powered by Verizon. Just $25 per month, taxes and fees included. Switch now at Visible.com. Monthly rate on the Visible plan. For data management practices and additional terms, visit Visible.com.
Top Thrill 2 is like no other course. Two 420-foot vertical speedways, three launches.
All right, let's talk strategy.
Copy that, driver. Go for maximum acceleration off the start.
Measure that.
You've got a short straightaway to push from 0 to 74 on the first vertical speedway.
And what about the rollback?
Rollback will set you up for an explosive reverse climb 420 feet in the sky so you reach 0 Gs in total weightlessness.
420 feet of straight-up speed. Let's get it.
Top Thrill 2, the world's tallest and fastest triple-launch strata coaster. Get your tickets at cedarpoint.com.
If you love sports and true crime, then there's a new podcast from executive producer Dan Patrick and hosted by me, Jay Harris, that you won't want to miss. Playing Dirty Sports Scandals. Each week, I'm squeezing the juiciest details from some of the biggest sports scandals ever. I'm talking Marcus Dixon, Olympic gymnastics, Cain Velasquez, salacious Super Bowl-level scandals. Join me on the dark side of sports by listening to Playing Dirty Sports Scandals on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Imagine you're a fly on the wall at a dinner between the mafia, the CIA, and the KGB. That's where my new podcast begins. This is Neil Strauss, host of To Live and Die in L.A., and I wanted to quickly tell you about an intense new series about a dangerous spy taught to seduce men for their secrets and sometimes their lives. From Tenderfoot TV, this is To Die For. To Die For is available now. Listen for free on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.